James 1:18. When we stood up to sing, I heard a noise. I don't know who made the noise, but I feel your pain. It is good to see today. I'm glad you're here. And you know, it's we do have a lot of sickness, and I just appreciate you being here. Today I'm going to talk about credibility crises. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but in the Western world, Christianity is in the midst of a credibility crisis. And there's different reasons for this crisis that we are experiencing in the Western world when it comes to Christianity. And, you know, I don't want to get into all that, but I just want to share with you the way that each of us can become a credible witness for our faith in Christ and what Christianity is all about. Now, if you've ever been to court or anything like that, you know that, you know, what people want is a credible witness if you're going to try a case or whatever. So the probing question I have for all of us today is, you know, if we were put on the stand, would we be a credible witness for a Christianity? And somebody has put it this way, that the early church, they didn't have enough influence to keep Peter out of prison, but they had enough power to pray him out of prison. If you reverse that to modern day church and modern day Christianity, I think that would be reversed. We may have the influence, but do we have the power? James is a very practical book. He's given us practical thoughts on how to live out our faith, what true faith is, and how each of us are to live. So we'll talk about that this morning. So the point that James makes is this, that credibility really does matter. Your credibility, my credibility as a believer, as a Christ follower, really matters. It really does make the difference. So let's read this passage, and then I'll get into some comments that I want to make. Let's begin at James 1, verse 18. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow wickedness, and receive. That word receive, very important word. I receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not forgetful, heareth, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks, in other words, this is what a person's own opinion is, not God's opinion. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure an undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit the orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. So, what James is talking about here is how we can become a credible witness to the world. In other words, what we say we believe is how we live. And that presents a credible witness. And so if we are to reach the world, if we're to reach the next generation, if we're to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to see more people come to Christ and come into Christianity, then what the world is really looking for is credibility. And so we portray the credibility and how we live out our faith day by day by day. And that's why I say James is a very, very practical book. So how do we breach this credibility crisis? How is it that we answer this issue that's before us today? I read something this week that I really hadn't thought about a lot, but I have come maybe to agree with it. And this one person said this. He's pastor of a pretty big church down in Albany, Georgia. He said this. He said, there's two words or two things. He said, I just quit using these two things in my vocabulary. He said, number one is Bible Belt, and number two, Christian Nation. And what he meant by that was things have changed. What does it mean anymore in the South to live in the Bible Belt? Well, I can tell you one thing. It doesn't mean what it used to mean. Things have changed. And you see, what we're talking about is this credibility crises. Another thing about America you need to understand is this. We no longer live in a Christian nation. For the first time in our history, we live in a post-Christian America. And so that's why this leading pastor said that those are two things he has quit using in his vocabulary, Bible Belt and Christian Nation, because it really doesn't mean what it used to mean anymore in America. We have a credibility crisis when it comes to Christianity in the Western world, and that's what I want to address this morning. So how do we turn that around? Number one, true faith involves knowing Christ. That's what James is talking about here. He's talking about the new birth. He's talking about being born again. He's talking about being born of God, and that is seen in verse 18 there when he talks about this birth that we have. What he's talking about is this regeneration. He's talking about the life that Jesus Christ has brought about in each and every one of us. Now, there's a big theological word that's used for that, but here's what it means. It means regeneration. This is on the inside of every person. What has happened on the inside of you and me when we become a Christian should be obvious on the outside. And if it's not evidence on the outside, then what kind of message are we giving forth? Is it that, you know, the reason for this credibility crisis is that as Christians we are presenting a message that is confusing to, brings confusion to a lot of people. In other words, we say one thing, but we behave in a totally different way. But this new birth, you know, this regeneration is what the new birth is all about. There's a verse that I want to share with you, and it's found in John chapter 1. And in John chapter 1, I want you to listen to these verses as I talk about them. But as many as, verse 12 of John 1 says this, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Listen to this. Who were born, he's talking about this regeneration. He's talking about being born again. He's talking about being a true follower of Jesus Christ. This spiritual birth that we have experienced. We were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You see, what James is talking about is salvation's origin. It comes from God. It is with God. By his own will, James says that he brought this change about. And so that's where John is picking up on this. He's talking about salvation's operation, how, you know, we're born again of the Word, that the Word of God gets in our heart. And the outcome of it, he said, we become the first fruits. In other words, the first fruit offering in the Bible was the very best. The new birth within us is the best thing that could ever happen to us. We are born again. We're saved. We've experienced this generation. But see, what John is saying in John 1:13 is, he says, it's not of blood. It's not of who you are. You're not saved. You're not born again. You know, this birth that you've had, this spiritual birth, is not because of who your parents were, your grandparents were. It's not anything to have to do with that. Nor is it of blood. It's not of, you know, any desire that we may have. It's not, you know, we can make all kinds of resolutions to do better and to have a better life and everything like that. But it's not of what we can do. It's not human effort. He says it's not of the will of man. It's not of any religion, you know. It's not that. And so if you go back to James, what James is saying here is that true faith involves knowing Jesus Christ. If we are a true believer and a true Christ follower, one who has been born again by the Spirit of God, who's received this regeneration that the Bible talks about, then what we portray, what we say we believe, is what we portray in everyday life. And see, that's the message that the world wants to see. Someone has said it this way, I'd rather see a sermon any day than to hear one. My joy as a pastor is simply this, not only that you hear the sermon that I preach, but my joy comes when I see the congregation living out the truth of the Word of God. And so that's what James is getting at here. And so it's the new birth, it's divine, it's from God, it doesn't originate with us. It's grace, it's God's grace, we're saved by grace, it's through God's Word, and so that is the point that he is making. James talks about pure religion. James is talking about being self-deceived. You see, we know what religion is. Christianity is not religion. Christianity is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Religion is man's effort to get to God and our own effort. Christianity is Jesus Christ coming down to this earth to where we were, to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. Pure religion, James says, is not all the ceremony, it's not all the work, it's not all the effort, but pure religion is a relationship with Jesus Christ. True faith is knowing Christ. It's having a relationship with Him. And so we need to understand that and see that. It is new life. It is the new life that we have. And He says this new life is just a taste of what He has for us in the future. The best is yet to come. Can you imagine what heaven is going to be? I mean, if knowing the Lord is so great now, just think what it's going to be in the future. That is the first fruit. The evidence of your changed life and the evidence of my changed life is only a part of what it will be in the future when we see Him. So he's talking about that. Number two, true faith involves sowing consistency. Now, how do we sow this consistency? How do we show the credibility that the world wants to see in our lives? Two ways. Number one, we're consistent in our talk and we're consistent in our walk. And that's how we do it. My talk and walk, you know, bear it out. My talk and walk give evidence of it. Now, there's a reason that God gave me two ears and one mouth. There's a reason for that. And that's where we are. And so he says, you know, don't be swift to speak and you know, be slow to hear and, you know, things like that, what James is talking about here. And so what he's saying is to receive the Word of God in your life. That means to welcome the Word of God. The word receive means to make something to be at home. You give that person full authority in your home when you welcome them. He says, let the Word of God have that authority in your life. And what bears out here, he says, you know, we do away with all these attitudes that could harm us, and harm others. We live consistency. We you know, it is seen in our lives. So the attitudes would be bitterness, greed, anger, indifference, you know, all that. He says, put those things away. The word he uses there is filthiness. And so he's talking about those things like that. You know, anything like that that could keep, you know, the Word of God from really having the authority in our life. Any sin that keeps us from receiving the full authority of the Word of God in our life. He says we do away with that. And the result of that is the consistency in our talk and the consistency in our walk. Someone has said it this way: if your faith is real, there will be in your eyes a desire to read this book, in your soul a fire to learn this book, in your heart a hunger to obey this book. And I really like that. So this is where the consistency is. This is where we see real faith. It works by applying the Word of God to our life. Along the way, here's what I've learned. I've learned this: that the credibility of my witness is not seen in my perfection, because I'm not perfect. But the real credibility in my walk and in my talk is seen into my reaction to those times when I need to bring those two in line with where God wants it to be. There are times when I say things I ought to say. There's times when I have those attitudes. And there's time in my walk when my walk is not what it should be. But I know this, that God's grace is so great that He brings me back in line where my walk and where my talk needs to be. Now, why does James deal so much with, you know, our tongue? Why does he talk so much about the lips and the words that come out of our mouth? The reason he talks so much about it is because our words really are a revealer of our heart. In other words, what is in my heart and the attitudes that are in my heart, you know, that's what's revealed by what I say. So is there any reason to believe why the world is confused sometimes about the message that they see in us who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ? So we need to sow this consistency. The consistency in our everyday life, with our talk, with our walk, what we need to do is to bring it in line. Now, James says something very interesting here. He says what we need to do is to go to the mirror. And we need to look in the mirror of God's Word. Every mirror has three characteristics. Number one, mirrors don't lie. Number two, mirrors don't play favorite. Number three, mirrors don't worry about feelings. A mirror has two purposes. One is for revelation, and the second purpose of any mirror is for correction. Now, in this day, they didn't have glass mirrors. If you was very wealthy, you would have a glass mirror that would, you know, a mirror made out of, not glass, but a glass mirror similar to what we have would be gold. If you was very wealthy, you could look and polish gold. And then maybe bronze or maybe silver. But what James says is we look into the mirror of this word and we see the corrections where we need to make to bring our talk and to bring our walk into consistency. In other words, we live out the biblical standard that the Bible sets forth on how believers should walk and how believers should talk. And we do that by going to the mirror. And I tell you one thing that the Word of God will do. It's not going to be concerned about our feelings, just like that mirror. When you look in that mirror, it is what it is, brother. I'm just telling you. It is what it is. And he says that is exactly what the Word of God is. And so the Word of God speaks to us that way. And so we look in this mirror, and he says this. He says, you know, a person who really doesn't want to receive the Word of God, who doesn't want to welcome the Word of God, what they do, they just look in there and they go away quickly. In other words, they don't really pay attention to what the mirror is telling them. And he says immediately what they do, he said, they forget what the Word of God says to them. They go away, they don't take it at heart. And so, you know, the correction and you know, what needs to be done is not done. So he says true faith involves sowing consistency. And then number three, true faith involves showing character. The way he deals with this is to use the word religion. And the word religion that he uses here really means a relationship. That's what it means. It's not their outward ceremony. It's not all the trappings of religion and all that. But what it means is a relationship. And so he says the evidence of showing this true faith is seen in our conversation. Number two, it's seen in our concern for others. And it's seen in our conduct. And so that's how this is brought about. And that's how he sees it here. So he says, you know, it's if a man thinks, if a person really thinks that they have true religion or true relationship, then our life needs to be in line with what he's talking about here. Now, he says it's very easy to be self-deceived about, you know, this thing with religion. And James's warning is don't be self-deceived about thinking that you've got it when you don't. Don't be self-deceived about thinking that you really know him when you really don't know him. Don't be self-deceived about thinking that you have pure religion, a true relationship, when that relationship is not there. So again, he brings us back to the evidence of it, and the evidence of it is seen in our conversation, in our talk, and you know, the things that you know come out of our mouth. It's seen in our concern. And the way he does that is to show the example of the two most needy groups of people in that day. Who were they? The widows and the orphans. And in this day, you know, to be a widow or orphan was, you know, that's the greatest example of need that James could demonstrate. But does it apply today? Yes, it applies today. And so what he's saying is, you know, to show our concern for those who are in need, that's the evidence that what is on the inside, you know, is real. And you see that on the outside of our lives. And he says this, to show that concern for others. So, how should we show the reality of our faith? How should we do that? Well, James says, you know, take the self-inventory, look in the mirror. He talks about here our relationship to others. He talks about relationship with, you know, what we do with those who are in the world and you know, the concern that we show there. He's talking about an inward relationship. It's inward. It's what's in your heart. It's the change that Jesus Christ makes when we're saved. Paul said it this way, behold, you know, all things become new, old things pass away. We became a new creation, something that has never been before, never will be, You know, again, we are individuals in this thing of being born again and in His family. And so that's how it's brought about. And that's what He's getting at here. So how do we really show this credibility? He says to know Christ. He says to show this consistency and to show the character of what a true believer is all about. So how do we do this? Be sure, first of all, that we know Him. Get that down. Get that settled once for all in your life. And then number two, then there's got to be an empowerment. There has to be a power within us that is working, that is beyond what we can do. And you know what that is? That is the Holy Spirit. And when you are saved and you come to know Christ, then that's when that takes place. Now, I've used a big word here today. You know, the theological word is regeneration. It means a new life. It means a new birth. When does that happen? That happens when a person believes the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you come to that place in your life when you believe that what the Bible says about Jesus is true, when you believe that He did what He said He would do, when you come to Him and ask Him to forgive you of sin and come into your life and be your Savior, that's when this takes place. And the result of that is being a Christian. That's what it means to be born again, to be a Christian, to live out what we say we believe comes through the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. And so James says that's where we need to be, and that's what we need to do. I guess the most famous verse in this chapter that I'm talking about from James would be the verse here that where he's talking about faith and works. And I'll share that and then I'll be through. But what he says here in verse 22 is this: be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his face in a natural mirror. There's a story that Jesus told that goes along with this. And here's the story. He said that there was two men. He said this one man built his house upon a solid foundation, but the other man built his house on sand. And Jesus said the man who built his house on a solid foundation was not only a hearer of the word, but he was a doer of the word. The man who built his house on the sand, he heard the word, but he really was not a doer of the word. So what James says is, you know, we need to be a doer of the word. How do we become this credible witness? We become this credible witness when we let the word of God have its place in our life. So that's what he's talking about here. Receive the word. Let that word take its place. When we sow that consistency in our walk and in our talk, and then when we show the character of what a true believer really is, that's where this credibility problem can be solved. We're not only hearers, but we're doers of the word. Now, that may be that you need to come to Christ, and you've come to that place in your life where you realize that you need this new birth. I'd invite you to come to Him today. Remember, Christianity is a relationship. It is Jesus Christ coming down to this earth, dying on the cross for us, to do for us what we could not do, for us believing that and trusting in that. If that's where you are today, if you need to believe that and trust that and receive that in your life, I'd ask you to come today. Would you do that? Then as believers, the question I have for us is this. Are we a credible witness? Am I a credible witness for Christianity in my everyday life? If not, I need to bring that in line with where God wants that to be. Look in the mirror and make those corrections, okay? Let's stand for our prayer. Father, we just thank you today for your word. We thank you for the truth of your word and how it speaks to us. And I pray today that all of us would receive your word and your truth into our heart and life today. Father, I pray that in our lives that we would really strive for this consistency, and that we would be a credible witness to the truth of what Christianity is all about. Christianity is not about religion. What Christianity is about a relationship with you. It's about everyday life. It's about everyday living. And Father, I pray that we would show it in our consistency and our walk and talk, that we would show it in our character by our concern and love for others. Lord, I pray that we would live out what we say that we would believe. For those this morning who need to be saved, for those who need this new birth that we've talked about today, I pray that they would come. I pray that they would realize that it's not human effort, that it's not self-will, that it's not by making resolutions, but it's by putting faith and trust in Jesus Christ as personal Savior. I pray today that there'd be those today who would leave here with that true knowledge of you, to know you in a personal way. And then, Lord, for us who know you in that personal way, help us to leave here today with the commitment to be obedient to your word, and to leave here today with that obedience of wanting consistency in our life to what you want it to be. In your name we pray. Amen.